Let's be turning in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Thank you, Brother Gene. I thank you all for having us, and we wish we could stay longer, but we'll enjoy the time we have. Thank you so much for having us. Isaiah 55, let's read verses 7 through verse 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, when you look at the scriptures, they speak of the first heaven. That's this atmosphere that we live in, the stars and the moon. And then there's the second heaven. That's the outer space, what we call outer space, the planets and the solar system. And then the scripture speaks of a third heaven where the Apostle Paul was taken up, where Stephen, when he was being stoned, he looked up and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing ready to receive him at God's right hand. That's from where New Jerusalem will descend, adorned as a bride prepared for her husband. And God says here, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When we left the Dawes this late Sunday, we drove along the coast on our way to rescue. And the second day into the trip, I said, I think tonight we'll buy us a tent, and we'll sleep at a park somewhere right next to the beach. And guess what my wife said? She said, yes, sir. What she said? Yes, sir. So we woke up the next morning. We felt like somebody whipped us from head to toe. And she said, honey, tonight we're going to sleep in a hotel. Guess what I said? Yes, ma'am. But that night we built a fire and we sat out there on the beach. I always want to build a fire on the beach. And so we did. And we sat out there and we were just looking up at the stars. And just amazed at the sight. And Emma said, it's amazing. It's just absurd that somebody would say all this just came into being instead of saying that God made this all. And we sat there just amazed. And this verse came to my mind. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, all God's ways and all God's thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. But this text shows us 3 points, and I want us to focus on these tonight. Concerning sin, concerning mercy, and concerning pardon, God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. First of all, concerning our sin, God's way and God's thoughts are higher than our way and our thoughts. He says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now the Lord says here, your way is wicked, so forsake your way. And he says, for it's not my way. And he says here that our way, our thoughts are unrighteous, so forsake our thoughts, because his thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, due to the fact that we were conceived in sin in our mother's womb, we have a very low perception, a very low thought of sin. It's all we've ever known. It's all our ways and all our thoughts are wicked. They're unrighteous. All our, according to nature, by nature, sin's not only what we do, sin is what we are. And all our thoughts, they're wicked and they're unrighteous by nature. And there's nothing good in the old man of flesh. nothing good so whatsoever. So all our ways are wicked and unrighteous, and all our thoughts are wicked and unrighteous. Genesis 6:5, it says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's what, if you're a believer sitting here, that's what your old man is. That's what our old man of flesh is. Only evil continually. What is man that he should be clean? What is he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, God puts no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. One time when the astronauts, I forget how many years ago this was, but I remember a report. The astronauts had been away for, you know, on a space station for about 3 months, and they came back. And one of the first things they said was when they set foot on Earth, it smelled like a sulfurous stench to them because they had been away from it for so long. That's what abomination means. And that's what God says of us. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart you work wickedness. This is God's word. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. He says their poison is like the poison of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers charming never so wisely. This weekend, everybody that attends this conference are going to hear the truth of God and His salvation. And by God's grace, some will hear the voice of Christ goes forth in the preaching of the gospel. And He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Some will hear His voice.
Amen.
And others will stop up the ear and will not hear. Why is that? Will you be one that hears or one that does not hear? The reason that men do not hear is because men are looking for something that they can do. Something, some thought they have, some vain way they have conceived that they can do to make themselves accepted with God, righteous with God. That's the case with men. That's what men set their minds on. The carnal man. That's what Romans 8:5 means when it says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that's why the carnal, to be carnally minded is death. Because the carnal mind's enmity against God. It's not subject to the Word of God, and it can't be subject to the Word of God. And so those that are in the flesh can't please God. There's no way to do so. I'll give you an example of our wicked and unrighteous thoughts. When you hear wickedness and unrighteousness, do you automatically start thinking about lewd sins, immoral sins? It does include that. But you know, when Adam sinned in the garden, that was not the first thing Adam did. The first thing Adam did was he began to try to cover his own sin and make himself acceptable to God. And that's the chief sin with men is, in our vain thoughts, in our vain way, is trying to come to God in a way other than God's way, other than the way in which God will receive sinners. And that's vain. That's a vain thought and a vain way. Some of them include this. Men think, well, I'll just reform my life. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? If you ladies take a dirty mop and you try to clean a dirty floor, what do you get? Twice dirty. And that's what happens when we try to reform our lives and bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. Men will try to, by the works of the law, they'll try to present themselves to God. And the law wasn't given for that purpose. Romans 3 tells us clearly, we know that the law was given to declare men guilty. It was given to shut our mouths. It was given to shut us up to Christ. That was why the law was given. And so by the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. Men will join a church and do religious works. And the Lord told the Pharisees, when you make a proselyte, you make him twofold more the child of hell than when you found him. Men will try to search the Scriptures and find things in the Scriptures whereby they might can obtain life by their will and by their works. And the Lord said, these Scriptures testify of me. From beginning to end, this whole book is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and you will not, there's our will, you will not come to me that you might have life. The chief sin that sinners do, and the chief reason sinners do these things and have no thoughts toward God and no thoughts toward his way of salvation is we don't know how deadly, how corrupting sin is. That's the first thing. We just don't know. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. God looks on the nature of a man. We don't know how God hates sin. I was looking in Proverbs and it said this, the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord.
Yes.
It says, the thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord. It said, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. Even his prayer shall be abomination. That's what we are in our flesh. And we don't understand this either. The wages of sin is death. We're going to die. All of us sitting here have sinned. We're all guilty. We all have to die. That's the only way. I've got to die, you've got to die. There's no other way that we can come before God. We're going to die. We're all going to die to the justice of God. I was at our house and it snowed up in New Jersey and I took a sheet and I was laid it out on the snow, by the snow. And that sheet looked white. That sheet looked clean. It looked snow white. But then when you laid it on the snow, the sheet wasn't clean. It looked off white. And that's an example. The only way we're going to see our sin is to look to Christ, the Holy One, the one that's snow white holiness and righteousness. He said, I'll pour out the spirit of grace and supplications, and they'll look upon me whom they have pierced, and they'll mourn for me as one mourns for his only son. That's where we're going to see our sin, is looking to Christ and see how holy he is. You realize when Christ walked this earth, he never told a lie. He never said one word that was a lie. We can't get through a morning without saying a lie. We just can't. Somebody will come in and have something on and you'll say, oh, that looks real pretty. And in your heart you're thinking, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. We call them little white lies and they're big old bold lies. But Christ never told, he never said anything that was not truth constantly. It didn't matter who he was talking to. And then to look at Christ and see what it takes to put away sin. To see that God, when sin was found on his son, he spared not his only son. There's where you're going to see sin. So concerning sin, our way and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. So God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways not your ways. Now secondly, concerning mercy. Concerning mercy. Our way and our thoughts, not God's thoughts. It's not God's way. He says here in verse 7, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Sinner, do you think that because of your sin, you cannot come to Christ because he won't show you mercy? Because you're such a great sinner? Usually, the way we conceive of how God will receive us is based on how we receive others. We think about how we will receive others when they've sinned against us, and we take those same thoughts and compare them to God and think, well, that's how God's going to receive me if I come to him as a sinner. You and I think things like this. Well, I'd have mercy on them, but he did it against my person. He did this against my very character. We think things like, well, I'd have mercy on him, but he did this willfully. He did this maliciously against me. This is our old man. Our old man says, I'd have mercy on him, but his offense is just too great. This is just too big. If it was something less, but this is just too big. Or we say something like, I'd have mercy on him, but he's shown absolutely no regard to my authority, to my rights. I'd have mercy on him, but he's done this to me repeatedly. He's done it over and over. This is not the first time he's done this. He's done it over and over to me. I'd have mercy on him, but I didn't do anything to provoke the things that he's done to me. I'd have mercy on him, but if I showed him mercy, he'd just do it again. We think I'd show him mercy, but he needs to do something first to make up for the things he's done to me. These are the things that we think. And so then we go to God and we apply these thoughts to God. And we think, well, that's how he's going to be towards me. But he says this, return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon you.
Amen.
For he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now indeed, we have sinned against God's holy character. Indeed, we have sinned willfully and maliciously against God. We have sinned great, and our offenses are very hurtful toward God. We've shown no regard to God's authority. We've shown no regard to God's rights. We've done so repeatedly, and we will do it again. We will sin again. And God's done nothing to provoke us to sin against Him. God's done nothing to provoke a man to sin against Him ever. But God requires nothing of you and me to do anything to make up for our sin before He'll have mercy on us. He doesn't require us to do anything.
Amen.
He says, return unto the Lord and He will have mercy upon you. Because His thoughts are not our thoughts and our ways are not His ways. You see, to come to the Lord to seek mercy, it means you have to be a sinner. That's the only reason you'd want mercy, is if you was a sinner. So to come seeking mercy means we got to come as sinners. The publican smote upon his breast. He wouldn't even look up to God. And he said, have mercy on me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, and this man went down to his house justified.
Amen.
You see, the Lord delights to show mercy. But he delights to show mercy to sinners. You know what a sinner is? A sinner is somebody that knows he can't save himself. A sinner is somebody that knows that he cannot earn a righteousness by anything he does. He cannot make himself holy by anything he does. He cannot redeem himself from the curse of the law by anything he does. A sinner is somebody that knows the only hope he has is the mercy of God. That's a true sinner. And God has to make a man that kind of sinner. Make him see that he's a real sinner. A sinner is somebody who knows these things about himself. Now, if you're a sinner, God's plenteous in mercy. And God delights to show mercy, but only to sinners who cannot save themselves. He said, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. God's mercy is that God chose a people in Christ before the world began and gave them to His Son. That's His mercy, even though He knew from the beginning that we would become sinners. And yet, He put us in Christ from the beginning. You notice it says here, return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. To return to somebody means you had to be with them at some point. And we were with God in the beginning, before the beginning, in eternity. We were in Christ, but we went away backwards in Adam. And Christ came forth to reconcile us to God, to reconcile us to God. And He calls us by His grace to return to Him, to come to Him, and come seeking the Lord's mercies. Lamentations. Jeremiah was thinking on his sin. He was thinking on the sin of the people. He was thinking on the fact they didn't hear His message, they didn't bow. And he said, and when I thought on these things, my strength and my hope was perished from the Lord. And that's what happens to us when we get to thinking on our sin. We get to look. Anytime you or me get to looking for something in us that'll give us some confidence and give us some ground of assurance, our strength and our hope perishes from the Lord.
Yes.
We become very weak. But He said, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope in the Lord. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions are new every morning. It was of the Lord's mercy that He didn't destroy this world when Adam sinned in the garden in the beginning, because He put a people in Christ. That's why He didn't destroy it right then and just wind the whole thing up right there from the beginning. The only reason that me and you haven't been consumed before we were born again or since we've been born again is because God called a people in Christ in eternity before he ever made this world. And everybody that he called in eternity in Christ, he shall call in time.
Amen.
All things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
And if he called us in eternity, he's going to call us in time. If you read Galatians 3, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And Galatians 4 says, he came and redeemed us from the law that we might receive the Spirit of adoption. The very reason Christ laid down his life on the cross was that his people might be born again and be brought to faith in him. And they shall. Do you realize, believer, everything that happens in this earth, everything past, present, and future that's happening in this earth, that has happened or shall happen, is for you.
Amen.
Everything. It's not just happening. God's working it all together for good. All together. God's mercy is that Christ died for sinners. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's mercy is that not one of God's elect will ever perish. They won't ever be consumed. They won't ever perish. You know why? Because his mercy toward his son. In Psalm 89:28, he says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore. He says, my covenant shall stand fast with him. And he says, and his seed also. That's you and me who believe. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. The mercy of the Lord's from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. God's mercy is that Christ effectually calls sinners to repentance. When those Pharisees saw that day in Matthew's house, they saw the Lord sitting there at the table with publicans and sinners, and they began to think within themselves, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And Christ knew it. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. That's who he came to call, sinners to repentance. In mercy, he affects and regenerates his people. This old man that we were talking about, Ephesians 4 says, that old man, which after Adam, and it's created corrupt according to the deceitful lust. But there's a new man, which after God, the last Adam, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's too hard for me. That's above our thoughts to think. You mean there's a new man in you, believer, created in righteousness and true holiness? If God made it, it is. Because everything God makes is righteous and holy. Everything. And when we get to glory, we're going to be created in righteousness and holiness in body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to stand before God complete through and through. And we're going to praise God in that day for what he did, because he did it all. Why wouldn't we praise him now that he's created a new man within us in righteousness and true holiness? It's as much Christ's work in us as it is for us on the cross, and it's just as necessary. But it's above our thoughts, isn't it? It's way above our thoughts, because all we see in ourselves is sin. But it's why Paul said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Because he wasn't going to credit God with creating something that wasn't righteous and holy. What I'm trying to say to you is, God receives sinners. He gives mercy to sinners. A little orphan boy was walking down the street one day, and he's hungry, and his old clothes was dirty, and his hands was all dirty, and he comes along to a window. And he looks in that window, and he looks in there, and there was a big old lunch line in there. Steam coming up off the food, and just piles of food in there. And he looked in there, and his old stomach was grumbling and rumbling, and he was just so hungry, and he's looking in there, thinking, oh, I'd like to go in there and eat some of that. And a man said, son, won't you come in and eat? And he said, I can't go in there and eat. He said, I'm dirty. My hands are dirty. My clothes are dirty. I'm dirty. I can't go in there. They won't let me in there. He said, son, are you an orphan? He said, yes, sir, I'm an orphan. He said, this feast was made just for orphans. It's made for the homeless. Come on in. And that's what God says to us. Christ said, this feast is made for orphans, for sinners. come and die. Look at there. Look at the first part of the verse there. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." How do I come to Christ? Look at verse 2. "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." How do I eat? How do I delight my soul in fatness? Look at verse 3. "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Sin doesn't drive us away. Sin brings us to Him. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Come to Christ. Here's the last thing concerning pardon. Free forgiveness of sins. Our thoughts and ways are not God's thoughts. Look at verse 7. He says, "Return to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord." But now, we just heard that the wages of sin is death. Every soul that sins must die. The wages of sin is death. So how can God forgive a sinner like me and yet remain just? How can I live and die? I've got to die. How can I die and live? Darius walked the floor trying to figure that out. He walked the floor trying to figure out how he could deliver Daniel and be just to his unchanging, unbending law. And he couldn't figure it out. But God found a way. And that way is Christ. God can freely pardon sinners. Look at Romans 6. I'll show you why. Romans 6. God can freely pardon sinners and remain just because when Christ laid down His life for His sheep, the old man of sin and all God's elect died. The old man of sin and all God's elect died when Christ died. Romans 6:1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Look at verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that's dead is freed from sin." Dead to sin means before the all-seeing eye of God, when Christ died, all God's elect died to the guilt and condemning power of sin. Dead men don't sin. Believers are not dead to sin's influence, to sin's presence, or to sin's effects. But before God, we're dead to the guilt and condemnation of the law. We're dead to it. We're dead to it. Before God, we cannot continue in sin because the old man that does the sinning is dead. He's dead before God. Paul's not suggesting, how shall we continue in sin that are dead? He's saying it's an impossibility. In you and me, all we see is sin. Before God, there is none. The old man's dead. That's how God can be just and forgive us. Look at, here's the next thing. Romans 7. Before God, he can freely pardon sinners and remain just because when Christ laid down His life for a sheep, all God's elect died to the law. Look at Romans 7:1. "The law had dominion over man as long as he lives." The law doesn't have anything to say to a dead man. You won't see any policemen out in the cemetery. They're not writing tickets to anybody out there. Nobody out there is doing any sinning. They're dead. The law has nothing to say to a dead man. And before God, when Christ was made a curse for His people under the penalty of the law, our old man of sin died to the law. Look at verse 4, Romans 7:4. "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace." That's what the Scripture said. And then God can pardon sinners and remain just because when Christ arose, all His people arose in Him to newness of life. Look here, Romans 6, verse 9. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God." Now here's what God says to every believer right here. Here's what God says to everybody born of His Spirit, verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our old man of sin is going to die because he's a dead man and he's dying, and that's all he is. He hadn't been changed or modified or anything. He's dead. But there's a new man that's going to go be with God immediately when we die. And that new man, that in that new man, we have eternal life. We're dead to death. We're dead to death. Now turn to Colossians 2 real quick. I just want to show you this. I think this will bless your heart. Colossians 2. The way God says it is, that's the way it is. Now, men will say this about believers. Well, it's as if we're dead. Listen, that's your thoughts. That's not God's thoughts. Throw that out the way, because here's what God said. God says it's not as if we're dead. God says it's as though we live in this earth. He says we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Look here, Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world, from the law, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinance? Why, there's the as if. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? First, look at Colossians 3 and look at verse 1. I'm sorry, verse 3, Colossians 3, 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when he shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. He says, therefore, mortify your members which are upon earth. Mortify means, so therefore, treat your old man of flesh like God regards him, dead. He's just dead. He don't count against you. He don't count for you. He's just dead. Yes, and we're alive with Christ in God. And so now, for the believer, God says this, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what pardon is. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The righteousness of the law doesn't say do anything. The righteousness of the law says, the righteousness that, which is of faith, doesn't say do anything. It says this, man believes unto righteousness with his heart. Yeah. And it says, and with his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that's what God, come to me. Come and confess your sin to me. I'll have mercy on you. And I'll abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. That's a good... if you're a sinner, that's a good message. That's good news. Go to him today. Flee to Christ today. Amen. Amen.